Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us together. Come reason together. Though our sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And we are in the book of Matthew. I'm Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And I'm Brett from Vancouver, Washington, too.
Brett keeps looking at me because he's from Red Bluff, and I just moved there. And I'm getting ready to say Albuquerque because I just moved from there. So I've said that for 12 or 15 years coming here to record. And Brett's watching me. Is he going to make it? Is the old guy going to make it? Or is he going to blow his line? Anyway, we are in the book of Matthew. And this is an old song that we grew up with. And it's about the scriptures. There are parts of scriptures in it. And it tells a wonderful story about the Lord and our relationship with Jesus.
Holy Spirit gave this song to a friend of ours, Cindy, and we're reminded of Jesus' return through this. So,
Jesus, my Lord, I hear you're coming soon, coming for your children of light. You are coming for the church without spot nor wrinkle, to walk always with you in everlasting life. Oh Lord, our love for you grows day by day, day by day. Help keep us in your way to prepare for the day when you come in glory, where we'll meet you and reign forevermore. Walking in God's new kingdom, where there'll be no more tears, no more strife, nor hurt, and your servants shall see your face. Oh, you grows day by day, day by day. Help keep us in your way to prepare for the day when you come in glory. Jesus, my Lord, I hear you're coming coming soon, coming for your children of light. You are coming for the church without spot nor wrinkle, to walk always with you in everlasting life. To walk always with you in everlasting life.
We've been in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and the last context is about the judgment day. You know, the fall of man. Man was with God in the Garden of Eden, and he fell. And then there was a cherub with a flaming sword that turned all every which way, that prevented man from coming back into the Garden of Eden. We might even call it paradise. And they could not return. They lost the Holy Spirit, and they kept falling and falling. And they were out of Jesus' presence, out of God the Father's presence, out of God's presence as a whole. And they kept falling and falling from 1,000 years of age down to 500 years of age as average, down to 250 years of age as average, down to 120 years. God says he put a limit to it. If you actually draw a physical chart and you could see it was going through the floor, man was going to die off. And God said, at 120, that was it. We'll stop there. And even to this day, there are men or women that will live to right at 120.
So you just looked at it differently than I ever have. It was like man's not going to live this long, and you're going, God goes, no, I'm not going to let him die off.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He stopped it.
Yes.
Because he had a plan.
I see that.
And I'm going to back up to another place so you don't lose heart in this whole thing. If we're created in God's image and likeness, and we are meant to be, we will rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. We will judge. We will learn to make judgments. But the word judgment doesn't always mean to condemn. The righteous are exonerated and the wicked are. They were already condemned. You're making a righteous judgment. And of course, we want to help people come out of the fallen nature. In the Old Testament, it says, return to me. So think of that whole thing being reversed that started about 128 years after Adam and Eve were created and joined together. I'll bet you they had marital bliss for 128 years. I'll bet they really did. I think I almost had something like that with my wife that I just lost. I honestly think I did. I married my sweetheart, childhood. I was 23, and I was childish. So my childish sweetheart. And I never dated before my wife. And we met, and we were both baptized very soon after. We started our walk in the Lord together. We did our foundations together. We like that scripture, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We like that. We actually made a sign above our bedroom door, don't go to bed mad, is really what it's saying. And wake up forgetting what happened yesterday, if it's bad. Don't forget what good happened, but forget what bad happened. If there's any wrong that occurred to you, drop it, throw it away. Find a trash can, throw it away. Don't go back into the trash can and dig it up again. And so we started practicing that. And the more we practiced it, the better we got. And our spats turned less and less and less, we noticed. And we both started improving in our lives. And the marriage was like, I don't know. I was married to her for 52 and a half years, and it was way above my expectation. Let me just put it that way. It's probably the easiest way to state it. It was above all expectations. She was above all expectations. And My life was above all expectations, and I gained a lot of brothers in the Lord, which was all against expectations. So it was way above it, way above. My friend, I have had friendships for 50-some years in the Lord, 40 years in the Lord, with people who are still alive today, and wonderful relationships. And not all turn out. Some are sad, but I give people space to come back to the Lord. Just some things that I've seen. But anyway, God gives us a way to come back to Him. He says, return. And the reason this whole thing happened is God did not produce a bunch of robots to be His kids. I'm not a dog. I'm not a cat. Not an animal. No animal ever says has ruach, a spirit, or has a pneuma, which is spirit in Greek. Ruach is spirit in Hebrew. It never mentions that. They have a mind, animals do, and they have flesh, but only a person is created in God's image, which has spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Same likeness. And He created the wife to be a joint heir with Him. Error, H-E-I-R, not A-I-R, but H-E-I-R, heir of righteousness, a joint son of God, even though she's in the female, which I liked. Anyway, my wife was quite a sweet female, very, very soft and tender, and I liked it. It's like putting your head on a pillow at night when you go to bed. And again, all these things were way above expectation. Can you imagine their Adam and Eve's relationship together if they didn't have sin in their lives? And they only considered each other. They weren't self-centered. They weren't egomaniacs. And then they fell, and then started blaming each other. And then they felt shame with God. And shame was not felt for 128 years. But you know, God says, return to me. He was planning a way to reverse it. But why did He allow this to happen in the first place? Well, if you're going to enter into judgment with something, you will never understand it unless you've gone through that yourself. He did not make us robots. He made us in His image and His likeness, even to the point where Jesus came to the earth, took on the form of a man, felt our pain, lived in our mortal body, our sinful body, yet without sin. He was the Lamb without spot nor blemish. I want to make that very clear, that that's what that says. But he took that body on and lived in it, and the pain and the sorrow. He was a man. Didn't they call Him a man of sorrows?
Familiar with sorrows.
Yeah.
You were like stereo on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the 2x3 because I can be corrected. You know, I'm 77 and a few things are slipping here, guys. But anyway, just so you know, but I love having the backup. I feel safe, you know, when there's two or three of us. And, but now think of this in reverse. So we started off living forever. We dropped down to 500 years of life, down to 250, down to 120. Wow, I mean, it was a free fall. God said, stop, that's enough. Man's average life is about 70, which David lived to age 70. But some people live to 120. Some places above India, they live. They just have this longevity. But to return back, just don't even think of lifespan. Think of they lost contact with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's going to reverse that course. And the first, when we had talked about the end of the age, that age that it was talking about that we had read in Matthew 24, will be the sign of thy coming in the end of the age. And He talks about these different ages now in this area that we're talking about when they look back at the temple. And the first age was 2,000 years ago. It began this recovery period of man to come back to become exactly like God, to live forever. It started 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. And this recovery, man received the Holy Spirit back. Remember, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we are going to rule and reign, and Jesus is going to come back, and that's been 2,000 years ago. We happen to be at the sixth millennium. And six is not perfection. What's perfection?
Seven.
So this last thousand-year reign, I believe, is that time where Jesus is going to come back. I think we are so close to the Lord coming back. We're waiting for the temple to be built and so on. We've been going through that in Matthew 24. Jesus is going to come back, so we will have been restored with the Holy Spirit living in us, living and ruling and reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years. Oh, the Father is next, and he is going to go 1,000 years, and then the Father, then we're presented before the Father, which is the judgment day, and the goats will be on his left, those that don't know the Father, and the sheep of the people of the flock will be on his right hand, and he tells to the one on his right hand, enter into the joy of the Lord. And those on his left hand, they go into the lake of fire, eternal fire. And so by the time of the beginning of the new heaven and new earth, which is right after the judgment day, is right at that doorway that enters into the new heaven and new earth, eternity again starts there. So here are lifespans. What do you think? Well, we'll be living forever. Anybody in the resurrection that's resurrected during that thousand-year period will be living forever. But men's lives will be like trees during this thousand-year period. It says that. And a baby will live to an old age. Well, we know if we jump ahead into the book of Revelation, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more sighing. So we know that can't fit. A baby will be old when it dies. Did it say 100 years? And that doesn't make sense in our era. It certainly doesn't make sense in the new heaven and new earth where there is no more death. But I'm just doing a big high climb here. Now we're looking at the seven millennium from Adam to...
So then the people that are not the Holy Spirit-filled people... In the millennium, they will live a lot longer than now. That's
right.
That's what you're saying.
Yes,
okay.
that part
That's
will be,
what you're
it'll
saying.
Be like before the flood.
Yes.
And where they lived to 1,000 years. That's what's going to be restored.
Okay.
And there were godly people living at that time and ungodly. But this time there will actually be Holy Spirit-filled people living. And there was, before all the other people fell, there were people that were created with Adam, and nobody's responsible for Adam and Eve, you know, their sin. And so it doesn't say about all these people that were born prior to the fall, they didn't die because of Adam's sin. They were still able to live forever. But finally, the earth just fell into decay and during Noah's flood, and there were only 8 people left. We do know that. There's some things when we get and ask Jesus, you're going to go, hey, my question, okay, Lord, I need to know this. What happened to those people? Don't you have a lot of questions, Andy?
Yeah.
There's still a lot of things that we would love to know. But look at how this is coming back. Longer life is coming back, ending up in eternity. The life kept getting short and shorter because of sin. Death came about because of sin. Sin means separation, or death means separation from God. Sin means to miss the mark.
Right, not a non-existence.
Right, not a non-existence. Death just means separation, and it's eternal death, or it's eternal life. You know, what are you going to choose? Eternal punishment or eternal...
So not a non-existence means... An existence.
An existence.
Right.
An
still,
existence, but not with God.
An eternal
non-existence. That's like almost a double-double.
It is a double negative. It's a positive.
So an eternal separation.
Yes.
From God.
Eternal separation
eternal
from God.
Life with God.
Yeah. But have you ever thought about this undoing, return? It's going to be a stair step, if you think about it. First, the Holy Spirit had to be restored. Then our life with Jesus had to be restored, and then they both work on...
And that life with Jesus is 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And 1,000 years to be ready.
To us now that are born up, 1,000 years is like a what?
A day.
And a day is like what?
A thousand years.
So do you understand that scripture now? Isn't that an interesting scripture when you think of it that way?
Because if you're forever, what is it?
It's a part.
What is a thousand years?
It's a breath. It says our life. So 100 years, let's say 100, 120 years is but a breath. Our life is but a vapor. Oh, so that's so we have 10 vapors. Between in the thousand year,
which is, I mean,
that's what he's saying. Your life is like 10 vapors during that thousand year period.
If you're forever, a thousand years is meaningless.
Yes.
Pretty much.
It is.
It's not something to think of like, oh no, it's a long time. No.
But then during that thousand year period, it's a very interesting thing that will happen is Satan will be gone. All demons, there won't be any demons. And
the angels be locked up, the ones that...
Yeah, they're with Satan. They're in Tartarus. They have a special place called Tartarus. Now, it never mentions that for man. Guiana Fire or Hades, the land
it's
of...
for man.
There's that ideo, sight again, the land of the sightless, eternally blind.
You know, when I was raised in the Methodist Church, I never heard one thing about the thousand-year reign. We said the word resurrection every week in this little thing they used to say, but never about this thousand years. And that's missing a lot of information as far as I can learn. 1,000 years is a lot to miss. And so people that are Christian that have never heard of these things, they sound very strange to their ears when they hear them, like you're making up something.
But have you ever thought about this, that he created us to know these things, he created us to make judgments? And how can you make judgments if you haven't lived life? How can you understand, how can you help a prisoner come out of prison and so on unless you've been in prison? Well, Paul was even imprisoned. And he actually deserved to be in prison for a while for some of the things he had done in the past. But that wasn't the reason. God just let him see these things, I believe, to make him a better judge. Walk in their footsteps. You won't understand what the Mexicans do coming up into America unless you've actually worked in the fields and so on, which some people have done. Even white people have done that, like my mom did it, and her family did it to come back up into America. You'll just never have good understanding or good judgments unless you walked in somebody's shoes to some degree. And God, he did this on purpose. He said he subjected us to this willingly, but he didn't create the mess. That was man that did that. But he made us to be his kids and to be his judges. There are some people that send their kids out to experience the world before they come back. And I think teenagehood kind of is like that to us.
So that learning obedience through suffering.
Yeah. So anyway, but look at this restoration. First, we now have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Then Jesus, who will be with us, and we can... Don't you guys have a bunch of questions you still... I need to know some things. And I'd love to. And then our time with the Father face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, not the back of his head, not off in a distance, not behind a veil, but to have all this restored back. And this is really the whole picture of what it's talking about. And we are, when we get into the sheep and the goats, is that where we are this next time?
Yeah.
This is actually at the time where the book of Acts has been fulfilled, and we're living and reigning with Jesus Christ 1,000 years, and this is at the end of that time. So somebody wants to read 25, 31 to the end of the chapter.
But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right, Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the world's foundation. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave drink? And when we saw thee a stranger and took in, or naked and clothed? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Amen, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, these least did you do it unto me. Then shall he say to them on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Amen, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, ye did it neither unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
The judgment day, when he separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep go, Ah, but Father, and the goats go, Yeah, but. It's always but. What if you start a sentence, if I'm talking to you, and you start a sentence with that word but, what are you doing?
Disagreeing
with everything you just got done saying.
You're hitting me with your horns.
Right.
And you might not even say but can you do but even without saying but? You could bring it in a sly way. Maybe you don't hit me with your horns right away, but by the tenor of your words, by what you're really saying, you're hitting me with your horns. You're really saying, but is that, where's that conversation going? Some people are pretty tricky about not saying but, or...
But they say it.
But they say it.
They say it.
But they hit you with the horns.
You know, both groups were confused at the question. The beginning one says, and they go, well, when did you came unto me? And they'll answer him and saying, when? That's the righteous. When did we do this? And he says, when you did it to any of these, the least of them, you did it to me. Enter into here. And then he starts the whole story over again, and they go, well, when? He goes,
in other words, this is exactly how you treat your brother or how you treat one of God's kids. Maybe they're not a brother yet, but it's still how you treat God's kids. Maybe
and both
it's a
of
kid.
Them ask when.
Maybe it's a kid to be.
And one of them didn't do it, and one of them did. Both of them asked the same question. One of them did it, one of them didn't do it.
And what were they giving them? Food, water, clothing. Was it clothing? Yep, naked and clothing. Covering
what,
of sins.
Sick. What, we get hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, prison.
Yep, all of them.
All of that. They didn't help each other. And when they didn't help each other, he says, you didn't help me. It was, you didn't do it unto me then. Or you did do it unto me.
And our time has come to an end. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.